It's our anime show. It's our anime show. And it's time to get into a fun conversation. Hi, I'm a Green Queen. And today we have a special guest with us by the name of Cheeks. Cheeks is here on the podcast today in place of our beloved Binge Monster because Cheeks and I went to Anime NYC this weekend. Yay! All right, Cheeks, go ahead and reintroduce yourself to our audience for those that don't know you.
Okay. Hi, everybody. My name is Cheeks. I am Allie's partner, and I was lucky enough to go 3 years to Anime NYC with her. And this year was nothing short of special. It was another special time. I had a great time. I hope you did, too. Mm-hmm. And I can never replace Binge Monster. He's the man.
And, of course.
I'm just here to tell you what I saw and how I felt about this particular convention. That's it. I won't say anything else, anything more, anything less.
No, it's true. I feel like we have a pretty fair stake in this. Okay, so Anime NYC, this was, I believe, the sixth year. Last year was our fifth anniversary. It's a huge deal. We've gone for the past 3 years, so that would be, what, 2021,
yeah.
2022, and now 2023. Right. The first year, we only went, I think, on Friday, right? I think we definitely only went one day.
I know we only went one day, and we decided, hey, we should go all three.
And then, yeah, in 2022, we were like, we should go all three. And the podcast was accepted as press, which sadly we were not this year, fine. I was only bitter for a little bit. I have to send them an email, actually.
You know what? Speaking on that, like, it was actually, like, very, like, watching you, like, be discouraged for, like, a second. And then you snapped out of it, and you were able to be like, you know what, man? I'm still going to go there and have a good time.
Yeah.
And I spent my hard-earned money that I worked my ass off, my tail off. And I'm not going to let it ruin my day that I didn't get accepted to the press.
That's so true.
Kudos to you for doing that. We just shook hands. If you guys can't see, we are shaking hands right now.
For audio only listeners.
But no, very proud of you for handling that because honestly, I'm a little different. You know, that's all I'll say about it. I'm a little different. That's all I'm going to say.
I'm a little different.
I'll pull up, you know? I'll pull up.
Enough. I think that, you know, that definitely, what was something that made this year a little bit different. Last year, I was on top of everything. I knew what was going on with everyone. I knew exactly who was going to be there. I was like, I booked my schedule with like, okay, I'm going to make it to this panel. I'm going to make it to that panel. Like I went to so many panels. Whereas like this year, it's funny enough, because of the connections that I had made last year of just like other anime content creators that I had then become friends with from networking last year. We all, you know, over the past year, like chatted and talked to like this year was about like, okay, you know what? I'm not working, but I'm going to go have fun. I'm going to meet my friends in real life or see them again. And I'm going to just have fun. I'm going to buy stuff. I'm going to attend panels when I want to. I'm going to really like make this weekend about me, I think to that point, this review will be a little bit different than our last review of 2022 Anime NYC was, especially for that reason. So just diving right in, when we're talking about the exhibitors hall, they had a lot of stuff going on. They definitely had a lot of stuff going on. Crunchyroll being one of like the main, I think, funders of this event this year. They basically took over the entire River Pavilion, which was, you can think of it as just an entire wing of the Javits Center, was just all dedicated to things streaming on Crunchyroll, to Crunchyroll properties. I'm going to say one word the right way for the rest of the podcast.
I believe in you. You can do this.
Crunchyroll.
Yeah, go ahead.
Crunchyroll properties and all that stuff. So like that was really cool. You know, in there they had like this domain expansion experience. I don't know if y'all have been kind of watching JJK. I think this is pretty early, but domain expansion is certainly a tool within the skill set of the powers of this very hard to understand kind of thing. But they had that, which was an experience. You kind of go into like a blow up tent and we didn't do it because the line was
just so long, but I actually was like, can someone just take a photo and show me what's going on in that damn dome? Yeah. I just want to know. I didn't want to stay in line, though. The line looked like it was molasses.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I remember, like, we went to the panel up ahead. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry to jump forward, but I just we walk in, and you see the domain space, the line's long. I remember looking at one guy. I'm like, okay, that's cool. Like, you know, we went to the quick panel.
Crunchyroll Industry panel.
Correct, yeah. And then we come back, and I see the guy only move, like, no more than, like,
really?
A leg. You know, because, you know, it has, like, legs. Like zigzags.
Yeah.
Like, I'll call a leg, like from the beginning to the end of a leg before it turns back the other direction. The zig, like a, like snake, like zigzags.
That's interesting.
And I was like, this is moving so slow.
Yeah.
So.
You know what? I have to say, though, something that I was actually talking with Justin from the Best Boys podcast. Shout out to the Best Boys. Yep. Shout out to Justin. Shout Big out fans. To Dan. Y'all are the best. I was talking to Justin and he had made this note actually that the crowd control of this year was really great. You know, for that line, yep. for that exhibit in particular, they actually had somebody capping off the line. They had the zigzag like structure. I don't even know what you call those like barriers that kind of like create the line into a little zigzag.
The little movie ticket.
The movie ticket
barriers.
And but at the end of that, they had someone actually be like, "Oh, like sorry, we've cut off the line. Come back in 5 to 10 minutes."
Correct. Yeah.
So it was kind of like, oh, I guess they would like let it fill up, let it empty, and then kind of like let it fill up again before it like fully emptied. You know what? Like that. I have to say, like. The crowd control was nice. I never felt like, oh my gosh, this place is so crowded. And I think they actually sold more tickets this year than they did last year.
Is that right? I didn't know.
I think. I don't know. That's a hunch. Actually, no. I think they sold less. I think they sold less because that might have been a complaint from 2022. I don't remember.
Okay.
But anyway, Crunchyroll had the whole hall. And so, you know, what Crunchyroll always does every year, which I think is really fun, is they set up these fun displays where people can go, like, take pictures next to, like, a cardboard cutout of Anya and, Yord and Lloyd and so forth. So they had, like, something like that for Spy Family. They had something like that for Frieren, which it's funny enough, we also saw a little bit of a glimpse. We basically saw like the trailer to that at the Crunchyroll panel, even though it's been coming out, and it made me want to watch it, and I started it last night.
Did you? Okay, good, because I wanted to watch it too, but I have not seen it. I just know what it is about. I know the gist of it, but
yeah.
What was your take on it? Like, what?
It's great.
What was that first episode for you?
Oh, it's great. No, I really liked it, actually. I really can't recommend it enough, but I did see the thing at the Crunchyroll panel. I was like, this feels like it's really beautiful and kind of like about the human experience. So definitely check out Frieren. I'm never going to be able to say it right. But they had one for Dr. Stone, you know, Spy Family, etc. And then they had like another place where you could take, they had a huge one for, I actually took a picture in it. Oh gosh, not Eminence of a Shadow, not that, because I think that's on High Dive even, but Shield Hero.
Oh yeah, next to the Big Bird.
The Big Bird is called.
I forget too, and it's I've like seen every little, season, yeah, and I just forget the names.
The little girl that turns into the bird.
Yeah, correct, yeah.
She, they had a big blow up bird, and I went and hugged it and took a photo.
Like, take my photo, take that bird!
Yeah.
I remember that, yeah.
Well, because it was like one of my first things that we did there. We were like, let's go to Crunchyroll, like it's empty, and we met some of our friends there, and so I was like, oh my gosh, I have to take my picture here for Binge Monster. And so I kind of like stood in front of it and was like smiling really awkwardly, and then there was this random person that was like, hug it.
So yeah, she had to hug the bird.
Hug it. So I hugged it. That was cute. But yeah, and then they also had some freebies in the Crunchyroll, you know, River Pavilion. They had like posters for Kaiju number 8.
Oh man, I'm so excited for that. You have no idea.
So excited for Kaiju number 8 and Solo Leveling. I feel like those are going to really take off in the next year. Like I think we're really looking forward to it because the manga and the manhwa are very, very good. And you can tell that they are kind of like gearing everybody up for it because they were giving away like posters of those two properties and so forth, and they had like different pins, Mushoku Tensei pin, a little star, like a little star Anya pin, little cards and stuff, Gojo, couple of the JJK folks,
they're getting fake tattoos.
Yeah, and they were giving out fake tattoos. Yeah, I don't know what anime that is, but it's the one of the boy who, he looks like a bellboy to me. I mean, maybe it's even not a boy. Sorry to assume, but it's like a little kid, and they have like a a kanji on their cheek, like a red kanji. And no, it's not Gaara. It's not Gaara from Naruto. But I don't know what anime that is. I don't think it's Mushoku Tensei, but that's the only other property I didn't think of. But yeah, then when you make your way down to like the main showroom floor of the Javits Center, where they have more booths and displays and stuff, it was like your typical suspects. Yeah. We saw a big display from Aniplex, which felt very like Fate/Grand Order.
Yeah, that was huge. What is it?
Fate Grand Order, not Fate/Grand Order.
Fate Grand Order, yeah. That was a big setup they had there.
They had like a motorcycle too. You
I saw that, and I was, you know, I don't know what it was for, but I wanted to sit on it because it was like, all right, yeah. I saw people sit on it. I was like, all right, I think I could do it too.
Different, like,
but it was like two clouds did it. Like from Final Fantasy VII.
Oh.
And I was like, I'm dressed as Zora. I was like, I feel out of place. I'm not going to do it. You know? Because, like, you know, Cloud on the motorcycle. But I digress. But
oh, interesting. I didn't know that. See, all these little things. And it's actually fun when, you know, you have other people there. Because, like, we saw different things at different times. You kind of see little, like.
Yeah.
That's why conventions are so beautiful. But I'll get into that conversation later. But, yeah, it felt very Fate Grand Order. And so, like, we walked by, and because obviously, like, the artwork is very beautiful, but I don't know anything about Fate Grand Order. Do you?
I've seen it. I think it's
an anime. It's a game.
Anime. I don't know if there's a game, but there were game consoles near it, so I don't know if they were playing a game related to that story. But no, I've seen it all.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. You know what was funny, actually, and I'll get into this later, but we went to the Anime News Network panel. We went to both of them. That was kind of like my focus. You know, seeing how I can dip my toes in journalism to really benefit all of our listeners. But one of them they were just saying, I guess people can submit articles to them. And they had said something like, oh yeah, I mean, if you want to send me an article that's about all the Fate Grand Order, like, storyline or something.
Yeah, in which order to watch them in.
Yeah.
He's like, well, that's a saturated topic. That's their say, yeah.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
That's all I know about that.
Gotcha.
But anyway, it was really beautiful, and they were in their usual spot. Aniplex is, like, always kind of, like, in the front. Mm-hmm. They have the big sign hanging from the ceiling, bunch of big, like, displays. So Aniplex looked great. High Dive was also there. They were in their same spot that they were last year. I kind of walked by. I think they were just kind of highlighting some of their properties, some of the properties that they're going to be having come through. And they were having a couple of premieres this year, and they had a couple premiere like panels at this event too, but I didn't go to any of them. It's not because I don't love High Dive, but I just was like, I don't know, I really only went to Anime News Network stuff. But yeah, the High Dive was there. We saw Viz was doing their thing, big displays. We didn't have the ramen bowl this time.
Not this time. Yeah,
we didn't have the ramen bowl, but they had freebies. They usually sell manga there, or like different apparel, not apparel, but like bags and stuff. It was mostly bleach, right?
Yeah, it was the same poster they gave off in New York Comic Con, though.
Yeah.
Because I remember you bringing Brad at home, and I was like, this looks oddly familiar. Mm-hmm. You know, I was like, I think I have this at the house right now.
Yes,
in my nightstand. So I was like, oh, they just run it back? Like, I guess, all right, whatever.
And we saw actually a really cool one that you stopped by, I think twice.
Which
at
one?
Least.
Which one
the
was it?
Atsuko one.
Oh my goodness.
What was it?
The Hunter Hunter?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, their merch looked fire. They had this jacket, like this particularly, I mean, they had the crew necks and the t-shirts, and they had the, like, you know, like an olive green like crew neck. I was like, this is nice, 75 mm-hmm. bucks. But then I saw like they had like this it's like varsity type jacket. And it was Hunter x Hunter, and it said like 289th anniversary of the Hunter Association. And I was like, oh my god, how much is this jacket? It was like 130. And I was like trying to actually group some people together. I was like, hey, are you going to get the jacket? Are you going to get the jacket? Because like, if I could get 10 of us.
We can share this jacket.
Not that. I was like, maybe we can make a deal with them.
Oh.
I was like, let's get 10 of us and tell them, yo, knock off the price of 100 each and we'll all get one.
We'll all
buy it right now. And like, I don't know, man. If this guy ever hears this, thank you so much for trying to get like people with me.
Yeah.
We were only able to get four, you know, and it was like, should we go up and tell the guy? And he's like, nah, forget it. We don't have 10.
Make a huge production.
Yeah. It was such a huge production too. I was like, come on, man, we could get 10. Maybe we could knock the price down.
Yeah.
It was a Friday too. It was a Friday.
Oh, you were trying to get. See,
I was trying to get the first
day. You
gotta
try to do that on like the Sunday.
Sunday, yeah.
Or something,
I know.
When they're like, oh man, you would have.
But it was fire. It was fire though.
Yeah. But yeah, we saw that. We have to talk about Tea and Milk. We're like fangirls of Tea and Milk.
I love Tea and Milk.
I got it every day.
Every day we got it. And, you know, and same thing with last year when they came in. Mm-hmm. I think it was their first time there.
They had something really cool this year. I actually didn't get it, but it was like last year they had done, and actually I really want to get in touch with somebody that works there that comes up with these, but they basically do like character style drinks. So like last year you could have gotten like a Lloyd from Spy Family, like right. a Lloyd drink mm-hmm. or like an Anya drink. And this year they actually did a drink and food pairing. So, for example, they had a Nezuko one. I think the drink was like, I don't know, mango, lychees, lemonade, something. But they were pairing it with like a banh mi sandwich.
Vietnamese sandwich.
Vietnamese sandwich.
Yeah, that's what it was. Yeah, it was oh my God, mango rose.
Mango rose.
Mango rose
yes,
tea
yes.
with the lychee in it. That was, first of all, that was delicious. Absolutely delicious. Mm. We didn't get the meat.
We didn't get the sandwich.
The sandwich, but it was very good.
Yeah, but very it was good. Very good.
Oh, my goodness. And I saw someone had it, and my stomach was growling.
It looked really good, though.
We were kind of hungry that time, mm-hmm. but I was like, can we wait for these chicken fingers or not? Like, I wasn't sure.
I was so sick. I was like, let's get the boba. I'm kind of hungry.
Yeah.
And then you guys, and then you and Scarlet Feathercoe was hanging with us, too, and you and Scarlet were like, this is, like, a drink. And I'm like, no, the boba. It's like a snack. It's a snack.
Yeah.
Just not. But we definitely got Tea and Milk. God, every day I couldn't help myself. I got they have like a matcha strawberry drink. It's so good. Anyway, Anime NYC, Tea and Milk, definitely up my alley. We also went to Kinokuniya. Kinokuniya always has this a little, basically like a pickup store there. Like they take some of their merchandise, they bring it here. They always have like an Anime NYC exclusive thing. Last year, of course, when it was such a big, Hajime Isayama was there, Kinokuniya, and that they had paired up and they had like exclusive merch for that. A drawing that he had done, posters, shirts, etc. It really took so much of me not to get that last year.
You know, some people, I saw some people with that bag, that they were like a tote bag mm-hmm. that they have of the drawing
of like Levi eating pizza and stuff in New York. Yeah.
And I was like, this is cool.
It's so cool.
It was like this nice to see people who were there last year back again.
But and then we also stopped by, I'll just like mention it because it was fun, G Fuel. It's like an energy drink, but they theme it off different anime, mostly Dragon Ball Z.
Yeah. But the thing is also they had that guy who plays as Baki's dad, Yujiro. His name's Logan Hitchwood or
a content creator.
Kitchwood, something like that.
Oh,
no, yeah, he's like this like brolic dude, and he usually cosplays as Yujiro from Baki, is Baki's dad.
Yeah.
So yeah,
interesting. But yeah, so like anyway, I mean that was pretty much I'll say this was our personal highlights of the exhibitors hall, because again, like there was really a lot. There was a whole gaming section this year.
Yes, there was.
That was way bigger than last year. Like they had mm-hmm. clearly put a lot of thought and funding into creating like an arcade in the Javits Center.
Yeah, it was larger than it was last year. Last year it was like towards the back,
mm-hmm.
and now it's like main area.
Yeah,
you know, versus it was like it was a racing game, and then it was like a fighting game. I wish I looked more into it, like just like. But I didn't.
Yeah, we did watch someone play DDR in heels for a
minute. I did. Oh yeah, she
out of pure curiosity.
Yeah, I was like, is she crushing it? I can't tell. And then I got to the front. I was like, oh, she's okay.
She's just stepping.
She's stepping. Yeah, I thought she was killing it. You know.
But yeah, that was Exhibitors Hall. I mean, there was so much more. I mean, obviously, there's a lot of shopping. There's a lot of shopping outside of like Artist Alley. Artist Alley feels very more like, I'll say like grassroots, or like you meet the artists, and then
that's nice.
You know, the Exhibitors Hall, it had a lot of like things that you would find at like a store. You know, they had a lot of weapons, like cosplay weapons and stuff like that. They had like a lot of stuff like that. The Marines were there, which was odd to me.
I get it. Yeah, but you know, it was just like, you know what, like, why here?
Why
you think you're gonna find the next
I don't
Marine
know.
Marine at the at anime,
like at an anime at convention. An anime
convention. I was like, I get it. You know,
Yeah. It was odd. It was odd.
It was just odd. That's what it was. It's out of place.
Yeah.
Almost like a wrong, like right message, wrong messenger type of moment. You know, it's like, what are you? Ah, I get it. You know, I'm all about the truth, but like, why here? You know, like you're not gonna find it at Anime NYC. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Like I really don't know. And then as far as panels, like I said, I did not attend as many panels as I did last year, but I'll definitely share some, you know, some interesting things. We attended, again, the Crunchyroll industry panel, which was really great. They kind of did an intro into some of the properties that they're going to be putting out. Frieren was one of them. What was the... Oh, Suzume.
Suzume, yeah.
What did you think of the trailer? Because you haven't seen
it. I haven't seen it, but I think it looks beautiful. It kind of gives me the Your Name vibes.
Same creator.
Oh,
same
that's director, why. Okay, company, I was like, it kind of looks exactly the same in terms of like artwork and like the music and everything. I was like, I have to watch this.
Yeah.
And I looked over at you and I'm like, why are you tearing? I was like, is this? The, I was like, I'm missing something, you know? Because I guess you said you saw it, so that you know what's, you know, it made you a little emotional. Like I guess it brought you back to those moments, which I had not seen, so I didn't make that connection. Mm-hmm. But I will definitely be watching that.
Yeah, I was sitting in between you and Scarlett, and I was almost borderline openly weeping because we've done a review on it in our previous episode. So if you find us and you've watched it and you want to go, you know, hear our review, we can totally talk about it. But I think I caught it on like one of the last days it was going to be in theaters.
Oh, here. Did you?
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
So I think that was it. Like I just like ran basically by myself to go see it. But it's so good.
You went to the movies by yourself.
Yeah, I always go to, I mean, not always now, but when I used to pay the money to go to the movies, usually went by myself, to be honest.
Gotcha. All right. Good for you. Kudos.
Oh, kudos.
Kudos to you. Yeah. I mean, not, I don't know many people who do that. You know, it's usually like a thing you go with someone else, but go ahead.
I feel like you're honestly teasing. It's usually like, you know, you go with someone else, like exactly. Maybe like your partner.
Maybe like a partner or something.
Maybe
you
invite
them
out. Like,
maybe, you know, just let me know.
You just see this really good, like, you know, prolific movies, you know, kind of with somebody as opposed to like leaving them in the dark and like letting them suffer. Yeah, no, I hear you.
I'm just teasing. Just teasing.
But yeah, that's coming to Crunchyroll. I would, if you're a Crunchyroll subscriber, I would definitely keep my eye out for that film and like take a nice night, turn the phone on silent, just like disappear into that movie because it's incredible. They also, I don't know if they announced, but they announced, I didn't know that the Blue Lock movie is coming out or is going to be premiering on Crunchyroll.
Premiering on Crunchyroll, that's correct.
And I did not know that it was about Nagi.
I didn't know either.
I had no idea. Yeah,
I
found
out then. I was like, oh, shoot, whoa.
So I was really, really excited. And then the voice actor of Isagi, the Japanese voice actor of Isagi, whose name escapes me at this current moment, and the one of the producers of Blue Lock was there as well at that panel.
Yeah. I think his name is Kazuki Ura.
Oh, yes. Kazuki
I did a little homework Ura. Before we started this podcast. Yeah. I was like, I bet if I get his name right. I get a little brownie points with you and the our anime show fans.
Yeah.
You know, I know what I've seen it. I just don't know the names. I'm really terrible with voice actors.
Mm-hmm.
But I do watch a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But no, I'm excited for that.
Yeah,
I want to see that for sure.
They were there. The movie looks fantastic. They played the trailer-ish, right? They played kind of... Yeah, they did play trailer.
They played a whole trailer. Yeah.
Remember? God, now that I'm remembering.
Yeah.
They also told us... Crunchyroll is also coming out with like a One Punch Man game, which felt really not interesting to me personally. I don't know what you thought about it.
I mean, I was big into those kind of games like Dragon Ball Z Budokai and all those kind of games. Like, I was into those back then, like Soul Calibur, Tekken, but I don't know. Something must have happened. I made that disconnect where I'm just not interested in that kind of game anymore.
Yeah.
But it kind of gave me this, like, it's a mix of like Budokai and then also like open world, like in terms of like Yakuza 5, those kind of games where like you could walk the area, but it's still very like closed off.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm excited to just like look at the gameplay. I do watch a lot of like just gameplay walkthroughs on YouTube,
yeah,
just as I'm working.
You too.
Yeah, it's really just background
noise. It's constant.
Noise. Yeah. I know you hate it. It's like, it's distracting sometimes. But no, I will definitely just like at least watch the gameplay.
Yeah.
In the storyline for that one. So.
So they announced some of those things. They also talked about music on Crunchyroll. So for most shows now, if you're on, especially if you're on desktop, I didn't necessarily see it on mobile Crunchyroll, but if you're on desktop Crunchyroll, you should be able to kind of scroll down when you're looking at, like, say, the open screen of one of your favorite shows. Just scroll down, and they have, I guess, a partnership with music, Japanese music. So, like, they'll have, like, what?
No, I'm looking. No, oh, you're absolutely right.
I thought you were shaking your head. I was like, wait, am I getting it wrong?
No, you're absolutely right. Yeah. You can scroll down and you could play the music video for the corresponding anime.
Yeah. So like
it's pretty cool.
Openings, closings, like if they have the, I don't know, the music video for it, then you can like go ahead and watch it. I thought that was cute. I thought that was cool. Mm-hmm. I think Crunchyroll is definitely trying to push a little bit more J-pop, and I think that's a great idea, or J-rock and roll, or just music from Japan in general. They were also telling us, because we have to talk about it, it was so cute. So they had a subscribers lounge.
Oh, yeah, that place was nice.
They had a Crunchyroll subscribers lounge. So like if you just like showed your subscription, you and three other guests could go into the tavern from Mushoku Tensei, which again, I have not seen that.
I haven't seen either.
I now want to, just like because
just because we were at the tavern, you know.
So it's like normally it would be like a holding room or like think of like an office, just like a general room that they put a bunch of tables in, closed all the lights off, and they just had like this orange light lighting.
Yeah.
And then they had a stage, and I swear, like, it was so empty when we got there. Nobody was there. I think maybe one person.
It was the three workers for Crunchyroll who were in there.
That's it.
That was it. Yeah, we were the only, like, non-employees for Crunchyroll at that particular, we'll call it a tavern, you know?
So, like, we walked in, and, like, the one lady working there could not have been more excited.
Oh, she was lovely.
She was so lovely.
She was lovely. I God bless that woman. She was great.
She like brought us over and she was like, okay, can we take a couple of pictures of you guys? And I was like, oh my God, yeah. So she starts like staging us. They had like, again, I don't really know Mushoku Tensei, but like they had like a desk with like a bunch of like bottles or like little trinkets.
Like little elixirs.
Elixirs.
And they had like a little mini treasure chest.
Yeah.
We flipped open. She put our phone in it and like, turn the flashlight on.
Yeah.
He's like, all right, now look excited.
When you open it,
you know, she was great, man. She was just
so
awesome.
Cute.
Good vibes from her.
Yeah.
And she's lovely. I hope she has a wonderful career at Crunchyroll.
Yeah, me too. She was so cute. But yeah, that was pretty much the Crunchyroll panel. We went to a bunch of Anime News Network panels because I was just very interested in learning a little bit more about what they do, because obviously I kind of frequent their website when I'm looking for news for this podcast, and just things in general. I spend a lot of time there, and they definitely have as far as news networks that are inherently like, I guess, American, they definitely have the most, I would say, like, boots on the ground as far as information. I mean, like, most of their team at this point, I think, has relocated to Japan. I think they were saying that.
That's what they're saying, yeah.
So they have, like, people there that, you know, are bilingual, know Japanese and English, that are constantly on the news cycle. And so one of their main editors was there. The owner of the company was also there. And Jackie Ching was there, who is kind of like the face, I would say, of like a lot of their stuff that they do.
A lot of their social media stuff.
Yeah, for sure. A lot of their social media stuff. But, it was interesting to hear. I asked them, at least in the second panel that I went to, which was specifically about journalism, I asked them some questions about, you know, how do you conduct interviews? Because obviously we do a lot of interviews here. And they gave some advice on that and so forth, but
hey,
I don't
and
know.
He said the CEO said you had this is a great question. That's,
oh.
That's what he said. All right, pat yourself in the back right there. You know, a lot of people ask
great
some like BS questions. You had a really good one. You know,
I really thought
and I was like,
question.
And I looked at you. I was like, damn, it's a good ass question. Very very insightful. It was one of those questions that they had to dive into it.
Mm.
Let's break this down.
Mm.
Give good advice, but it was good.
Well, I was interested in their thought process on how they approach interviews. You know, like because they must be interviewing people all the time. They gave great advice. They were like, listen, front load with your most important questions first, because you don't know if you'll run out of time. And, mm-hmm. you know, they even said, if I don't get through all of my questions, then I know it was a great interview because right. I was asking follow-up questions. Mm-hmm. It was very conversational. We really did deep dives. And I took a lot of that, because often when we have people come on this podcast, I'm very like, oh, let's do like some icebreakers. And like, how are you? What's your day? What do you do? Introduce yourself, blah, blah. And it's kind of like fluff. And then, you know, maybe by the end, we're finally like, oh man, like we're really comfortable and we're in it and we're getting to know these, you know, these questions. So I really did take that away. I also just was very impressed with some of the terminology behind journalism in and of itself. They gave some terms and I'm like, I have to find a LinkedIn course about this. But anyway, that was very insightful. And I hope that I can bring some of the things that I learned into this podcast. But other like bigger panels that they had and they were highlighting this year, unless you had something to add about that panel, I'm so sorry.
Oh, no. I mean, I really don't have much substance, but all I say is, like, I'm a fan of theirs for life.
Yeah.
Because, mainly, I was watching you, like, so attentive, so, like, ready to, like, you know, you, every time you left, like, you left the Friday panel and you left the Sunday panel yesterday, I felt like it lit a fire under you.
Mm.
You know, so I'm a fan for life for them because, you know, it gave you that push and that knowledge, I would say,
mm-hmm.
to maybe take your craft to that next level,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I'm a fan of theirs for life because I saw physically what it did to you.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, I'm gonna subscribe.
Oh,
yeah, funny. I didn't really have anything else to say about anime news network, but I'm a fan of theirs for life. I saw they have directly affected my girlfriend, you.
Mm.
So I'm a fan of theirs for life.
Oh, yeah. Let's all give a big nod.
I'm just being honest.
God, you're so sweet. Yeah, no, it definitely did. It kind of was like, ooh, like maybe journalism is a little like, you know, because I mean, not necessarily writing. I'm not the best at that, but I'm definitely the best at wanting to be, getting to know people and talk about things and create conversation and open that up and.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the other panels that they had that they were really highlighting or really pushing, HoloLive was a big one. I think they're mostly VTubers. I tried to look it up ever so slightly. I think it's basically like a cast of VTubers. They had a little bit of a booth. I walked by at one point. I think they were doing a show, but they had a big, you know, main hall, I'd say, panel. I don't really know what happened in there. I'm so sorry, but HoloLive was there. Again, there were some premieres for High Dive, one of them being Chained Soldier. That was one of the panels, but I didn't go. Crunchyroll had a couple other like premiere things where I'm sure like last year we went to some of them. We saw Tomo-chan is a girl. We right. saw that. So they had a couple other things like that, but oh my gosh, panels. How could we forget our Saturday night festivities?
Yeah, no, that was honestly my favorite part.
What did we do for the second year in a row?
Second year in a row, we attended Loud, Annoying, and Very Annoying. Yeah, those guys are great. What is it? Max Middleman,
Robbie Draymond. Draymond?
I don't know.
Oh, that's
I don't
want to so
mess it
bad.
Up. But and
Ray Chase.
All right, that's I know that's your favorite.
Oh yeah.
Because he's the voice of Nouvellet.
Yeah.
So, but that, you know, that show is phenomenal.
They're so good.
So good.
They basically put on an improv show, and at least for the last 2 years, it was on Saturday night. But they take the show to conventions really all across the country.
Mm-hmm.
They used to do like live streaming and shows and stuff. But they even said at the end, they're like, we're literally three theater geeks, and this is like the highlight. We love this. Like we they're all voice actors, which I mean, they have great, long, notable careers, which I urge you to look up because they're very, very talented. And you can just see like they spend all that time in a booth doing the lines and creating something from, you know, that. But then when you get to see them like light up each other and laugh with each other and like yeah. and like be yeah. with the audience, like I mean, as also a theater kid, I'm like, that feeling is so delicious and wonderful.
It looked like they're having a good time up there.
They were cracking each other
yeah.
up.
Like what was the guy? The guy Rob.
Mm-hmm.
He was in tears.
Robbie? Oh, in tears.
He was in tears. He was actually genuinely laughing because he like was he found that everything they were doing truly hysterical. I was crying too.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't say, you know, here's the thing. I remember last year,
mm-hmm.
I was like, we were tired. We were there all day.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh my God, do we have to sit through this? And I'm so happy your friend, Scarlett said, like, you know, trust me, just come and watch us. Just sit. All you have to do is sit down and listen.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so happy she exposed us to that and introduced that show to us. And it's truly, I look forward to it. Like, I look forward to it this year. I'm going to look forward to it next year.
Oh, we like really actually look forward to it.
Yeah,
like,
truly.
We were there. We were around. We had game planned basically the whole week that we were going to be there at like an hour early at minimum.
We did.
And we wound up being there an hour and a half early because we were like, oh, like what else are we going to do? We went and ate. We went and got a drink. And we were like, let's just go like sit in the line. And thank goodness we did because we were not first.
We were not first. Yeah, people like, lined up before us.
At least 10th in line.
Yeah.
It was insane, but that just goes to show how great the show was. An hour and a half early.
Yep.
And we were still like 10th to 15th in line.
But again, great show.
But again,
absolutely. I love, you know, guys, you check it out. Look them up and do your due diligence and maybe you'll find yourself at one of their improv shows and it's truly funny. Especially the Ship It.
Oh, Ship It.
Ship
is
It in
so
the end. They
funny.
Always close the, I won't go too much into it, but you know, they use like real life couples and
mm-hmm.
It's basically how well do you know your partner?
Yeah, yeah.
And that was funnier than all of it.
Yes, it's so good. Because
it's definitely a different reaction every time.
Yes.
You know, yeah. So that's, I love them. They're great.
Well, actually, we should, let's talk about it just a little bit because there was one very notable couple that like, because they basically grabbed three couples, they bring them up and they made sure to grab one couple and they were like, oh, these are the normies because like there were couples in cosplay, couples in like anime stuff or whatever. And then these two people who were in like truly normal clothes, they were normies.
Oh, yeah. The girl was in leggings and a sweater.
Yeah.
You know, that something you wear to the gym. And the guy was in basketball shorts. And
funny.
A sweater, like, you know, like, but not like it was like the long basketball shorts you see like N1 mixtapes.
Yeah,
I was like, you got this from the 90s?
Doing?
Like, I don't own those anymore. You know, I threw mine out. But go ahead, please.
Yeah, no, but it was just so funny because the way the game goes is, you know, half of the couples will leave. So basically, one of the partners will leave, and then they'll ask the person that's staying there, like, oh, if we asked your partner, like, who is their waifu or husbando of anime, like, what would they say?
Yeah.
And so, for example, that was the first question. So the gentleman of this group went away and the lady was there, the girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
I forget their name. Oh, I think it was Kat and Ryan.
Kat
stayed, Ryan left. And then they asked Kat, like, oh, who would be your husband, you know, or your boyfriend, whatever, his waifu or husbando. And Kat was like, oh, it would be, I don't even know who she said.
I don't know either.
But it's some character with tig ol' bitties.
It was from that high school... like the zombie high school thing, you know, where the boobies are out.
Yeah.
Tig ol' bitties are everywhere.
Tig ol' bitties. Just big old titties.
I've seen that actually. It's everywhere. They be flopping.
So she says that. And then he comes back and then they ask him, okay, who's your wife or husbando? And who does he even say? Someone like...
Someone just not even in that realm.
Yeah,
not,
I don't know. He says oh, Maki Zenin or something.
Yeah, something.
Like, someone, quote, normal, I guess.
Just normal. Yeah.
And then they kind of are like, oh.
Yeah, the whole crowd was like, oh, they didn't get it right.
And then they start to walk away and Kat goes, wait, no. He just said that he was too embarrassed to say the real answer. And so they come back, and of course, like, this guy, Ryan, goes red in the face.
He's red. Oh, my God. He's red.
Red in the face.
So red, that guy.
And, you know, they say it, and Robbie Damon, whoever he is, I forget his last name, I hate me, goes, like, hey, man, like, just look at me. Look at us. And, like, look at everybody out there. You're okay, man.
You're okay,
like,
man.
Yeah, you're amongst friends.
Yeah, you're amongst friends, and he made him so like comfortable. And then he finally said the girl's the waifu's name.
Yeah.
I don't know the name, and we were like, yeah,
yeah,
because like the whole room erupted.
Yes,
and then Robbie started chanting, "One of us, one of us." It was actually electric.
It was
like a buzz in the air.
It's just go ahead, so please. Funny. No, that was, it's great. Like, that was it. And everyone was like, one of us. And then it kind of became like, a running joke for the entire rest of the time. Yeah. And then so by the end, this guy, Ryan, who was beat red in the face, got one of the answers right in like the last round. And he gets up and he's arms in the air like, yeah, one of us, one of us. Oh, my God.
You know what? Let me say this. I was a little discouraged that we didn't get picked.
Me too.
I truly was.
Me too.
Until those two came up.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm so happy that we didn't get picked.
I know.
They were so good.
So funny.
You saw like a character change and everything. Yes. He was so like to himself.
Literally.
And then by the end of the game, this guy erupted and he was his true self, which is one of us.
One
you know, we're like,
us.
We're excited about anime. We like these live shows. We like Lava particularly.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Like, it was just like,
we're all weird and we love
and we
this
all
shit.
Weird and we love this shit.
Yeah.
And like, he was himself. His girlfriend was happy.
Yeah.
I think she was just happy that he was happy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like,
yeah.
Even though she's in her own right, you know, she knows all these voice actors.
Yeah. Remember she kind like, of like,
she knows them all.
It feels like she was definitely a bigger anime fan.
Probably. Yeah. And kudos to them. Ryan and
Kat.
Love them.
If you ever find this
podcast. If you ever find this podcast,
I love you.
Would love to. Yeah, you got to interview them. Like, hey, tell us everything.
Yeah.
You guys were electric in Anime NYC.
Mm-hmm. I would invite them on the podcast.
100%. You should. they were truly electric.
Yeah.
Truly.
But yeah, so like that was probably one of our biggest highlights.
Yeah.
And, you know, everything I learned from Anime News Network and so forth. But this year was definitely different from last year. You know, like there were some things that I was a little confused about. I had some questions. Like, I was really wondering, like, why Toei wasn't there. Toei Animation was nowhere to be seen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you were only really seeing Luffy in One Piece, which is, you know, I feel like one of the biggest animes right now, arguably in the whole history of anime, damn near.
Yeah.
And we didn't see them anywhere. I mean, we had the giant Straw Hat Luffy last year. And then even at New York Comic Con, not to compare, we had Gear 5 Luffy.
You showed me a picture of Gear 5 Luffy.
Yeah.
So I was expecting Gear 5 Luffy at
Anime NYC.
Didn't see it.
They didn't have a booth.
Nothing for it.
They didn't have a booth.
Yeah.
They didn't have anything.
Nothing.
Also, like, even at New York Comic Con, I saw a very big display of, like, new Naruto games. Like, I don't know. I think they revamped, like, Naruto, like, Shadows.
Okay. Yeah.
Or Tornado. I don't know what it's called. But, and, like, they had a big Ninetale structure that
was
nowhere to be found.
I saw it on Instagram. Yeah, it looked cool.
Bandai had a big booth area, I'll say, but it was more like Bandai Productions as opposed to like Bandai, you know, toys and such.
Yeah.
That was kind of confusing to me because, again, I'd seen a big display at New York Comic Con, so I was like, what's this about? And they were a big thing last year. I'd gone and bought Nanoblocks, but there were no Nanoblocks to be found this year, so it was just very interesting. And then, you know, as far as the panels, like, with Jujutsu Kaisen being such a big property right now and almost at like the height of what we've seen so far, you know, if you're up to date in the anime, it's absolutely taken a turn out of just a bunch of kids learning how to be sorcerers and very much how are we going to watch people save the world or, you know, what have you. But every anime does that. You kind of feel that shift in, okay, this is not for kids anymore.
Definitely not.
Very much Jujutsu Kaisen. And no big Jujutsu Kaisen panels, which is interesting.
It's probably one of their flagships right now.
Right now,
and
for
you don't,
sure.
And there's
airing.
Nothing out for it. There was nothing like.
No big
no
panel.
Panels,
like,
no panels. Even a statue. Did you see something?
The only thing we had was the domain expansion.
Right. Oh, I'm sorry. Besides that. I'm sorry.
Besides
but
that,
like, besides,
nothing.
It was
no standees of that crew.
I feel like it should be more.
I feel like it should be
it's a
more.
Flagship.
It's
yeah.
Right now, it's like one of the biggest things on Crunchyroll. So
that's the biggest thing in anime right now.
In anime,
it's like that and OP. One Piece.
Yeah,
you know, like so. I don't know.
So that was very, very interesting to me. It felt like, to be nice, a different vibe in panels. I think there were a lot of panels that were really great. Obviously, we had big artists like Kazuki Oda. I forget his name. Isagi's voice actor. But it didn't feel like it had the same Oh my God, Hajime Isayama is here.
I agree 100%.
Oh my God, the entire cast of Bleach is going to be here. Mm-hmm. So that was all very just interesting. Like, I wonder what the occurrence was. Was it because it was the fifth year last year? So they were like, listen, we're shelling out. We're pulling strings. We're getting this shit to happen. And then this year was a little more like, okay, it's a normal year.
Yeah.
I don't know. I
couldn't tell you. I would say for me particularly, my excitement was higher last year for sure.
Yeah.
To not just be in that space, just to be attend panels.
Yeah.
And like listen to
these
creators like Hajime Isayama, and there was the Bleach panel last year.
Yeah.
With the voice actors, right? Michelle.
They were huge.
I forgot her name. But yeah, the dub voice actor for Bleach, I'm saying.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I don't know. It was definitely a different convention this year.
Different vibe.
You know, but I had a good time. I always have a good time with, like, you know, when you go to those stuff, you know, it's like a mini vacation, even though we live in New York. It's like a vacation. You get to be yourself a little bit more in a public space.
Yeah.
You know, with other people, you know what I'm saying?
I think to your point, that's one of the most beautiful things about the convention. That's why I really wanted to actually make sure that we talked about Ryan and Kat, because like, that's what these spaces are about.
Yeah,
like,
this is
relatively safe. I've never really necessarily feel unsafe to, you know, be weird. Like, everyone here is going to feel so at home, and like all the weirdos are going to come out, and like, that's like, you know, and not weird in a safe, in an unsafe way, but just like, you know, everyone who loves anime and is like down to love anime loudly comes to these things. And I think it can be a very freeing and very eye-opening experience for people, you know, to, because again, I mean, we've talked about this a lot. Like, anime is more and more in every medium we see. Sports.
Oh my goodness. Like, it's everywhere,
know,
now. It's truly
movies.
Everywhere.
It's everywhere.
Yeah. You don't have to hide in the closet anymore to be as being an anime fan. I grew up where you did.
Yeah.
And the kids now, you don't have to.
Mm-hmm.
Because you have your favorite athletes talking about it. It's in Fortnite. It's in every Fortnite game.
I think...
It's amazing, the shift.
And I think that being able to attend something like this solidifies that more.
For sure,
even, you know, even
for sure.
People that maybe don't have a lot of people in their life that they get to talk about this with, or people that do shame them that are in their life, like, they can come here and they can cosplay and just feel so at home and so accepted, because anywhere you look, there's 12 other people doing exactly what you're doing.
I agree.
Can
I say this?
Yeah.
Shout out to the cosplayers. You guys crush it every year.
Every year.
And I, at the end, like, I always get a little jealous. I'm like, damn, that looks so good. I want to do that next year. And so I did step into it a little bit more this year.
Mm-hmm.
But I still...
You did a fantastic Zoro.
I wish I had the swords. That's the thing. Now I wish I had the... I didn't buy the swords. So next year, I'm going to go all out. I went 90%. I should have went to 400. I saw so many people, like, amazing cosplay. Kudos to you. I know it's expensive. And I know it's a lot of hard work. And you guys crushed it. Amazing job. Truly, 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 I mean that from the bottom of my heart. You guys crushed it.
Yeah. And we'll definitely be in tap for next year. And next year is going to be super crazy because, again, weird things that happened. They announced the day before Anime NYC 2023 that they will be moving the date of Anime NYC 2024 from here on out. And every anime from here on out, I mean, every Anime NYC from here on out, and the third time's the charm, that it's now going to be in August.
Yes.
Which is interesting.
I don't know how I feel about it.
I don't know why the shift happened.
I've been
speculating all weekend. It's instead of being very, very cold, it's going to be very, very hot.
So, I don't know. Like, you know, if you see some of these cosplayers, they're layered up.
They're,
you know, with their cosplay.
Yeah.
And I think being layered up in the winter is okay, you know, but being layered up like that in the summer, my goodness.
It's going to be tough. I mean, the Javits Center is a great facility, and I'm sure they have plenty of checks and balances to make sure that the temperature in there is not a heat stroke level. But it will certainly be interesting. I know that they are going to be selling tickets, I believe, on like December 3rd or I think it's December 5th, actually.
Really? They're selling tickets for next
year?
They're
selling tickets for next year in a couple weeks.
Literally a couple weeks.
Which a lot of people are very... upset about, at least that I've seen in like Instagram comments and things like that, because we just, one, that's right around the holidays, the peak of, you know, if people are celebrating Christmas, buying gifts, things like that.
Yeah, you got to break right the around, budget for that.
Right
yeah.
around there. And we just spent our money and attended for this year. So it's like the people are asking them to actually push it to January. So I'll be interested to see if they do, because it's tough. Like, financially, these things are not cheap.
They're not cheap. They're not cheap.
Some people travel from anywhere in the country just to attend this event. And that's like a plane ticket, a hotel, Ubers, because they don't know the city. Like, and then when they get there, of course you want people to buy stuff that, you know, so people are a little bit like, we'll see.
I think it's too early to sell the ticket. That's just my final opinion on that.
Yeah, it's very,
way too early.
It's way too early. So. So we shall see. I have faith in Anime NYC, and I think that we are definitely have been attending in years of divine growth every year. I mean, New York Comic Con clearly has been going for so much longer if we're going to compare, and it's easy to compare because they're only a month apart and they're both at the Javits Center. You know, so Anime NYC, I think they just get, you know, more bones in their legs. I don't know how to really say it, but we'll definitely keep you in tap on this podcast. If I hear anything, you will hear it from me. And with that, I have been a Green Queen.
And I have been truly grateful to be on your podcast. My name's Cheeks. Thank you so much, Miss Green, for having us.
Of course. And you can find us at Our Anime Show anywhere on all socials, and you can always email us at ouranimeshow@gmail.com.